Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast.
Right. Taylor asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I said, Donuts? Oh, we didn't think that's quite appropriate. Don't find those wild.
There you
do. So, you picked up this book called The Drought Resistant Farm, and I've been reading from it. I know it's not technically food medicine, but
in a way it is. Basically, we got an off-grid organic farm and retreat farm. We don't really have water. So we just pick up rainwater and whatnot. And so basically what this book helps us do is figure out ways to retain water on the land so that the land will grow us free food and medicine, or at least more of it.
Yeah. And so what we talked about is mold. And explaining how traditionally people put down mold because it slows down the rate at which water runs off the land. And this book's method does do that. This forms a much more important function. It prevents the rain from hitting the dirt. That raindrop literally compacts soil when it makes contact. Mold stops doing that. Mold slows the water down, water seeps down, mold, and gently.
Well, that was weird.
So, yeah, I'll keep going, but it's
kind of
like a recording stop.
We are getting low on time. So, soon we won't be able to do Blog Talk Radio anymore. You'll have to find us at freefoodandmedicine.org.
Anyway, so I'm skipping all that part about the mold. I'm going to read you after all this.
Fine.
after it explained.
Oh, real quick, if this does cut us off, you can find the rest of the conversation or the rest of the podcast at freefoodandmedicine.org once I upload it.
Ready. So, here we go. The red food we already have. So how do we create mold? Okay. Removing the mulch we have, as it,
I don't want to cover up the mic accidentally.
Go ahead.
Okay. The first and most obvious way is to avoid destroying and removing the mulch we have as a byproduct of our current land management, such as crop residue or the stubble of pasture grass. Keep plant residues in the field. Just as tillage is destructive, so is the removal of crop residue from the field. During the drought of 2012, a huge amount of crop residue was baled and sold in low-grade livestock feed in my area. I had neighbors who thought they had found a miniature gold mine, selling baled corn stalks at $60 a ton. I felt compelled to point out a few items to them. First, the cost of swathing, baling, and moving those bales amounted to around $30 a ton. So their net above harvest cost was only about $30. Then I had them figure the value of the fertilizer in those stocks. A ton of corn stalks contains about 20 pounds of nitrogen, about 8 pounds of phosphate, and about 60 pounds of potash. At 65 cents per pound of nitrogen, 75 cents per pound of phosphate, and 50 cents per pound of potash, that fertilizer value amounted to $49 a ton, essentially. They sold $49 worth of fertilizer for $30. Yeah. Yep, they lost money selling the bales. Plus, they wasted time and effort baling them up. That's another $30 thrown away. So, the real loss, however, was the value of the stalks as mulch and organic matter. Neighbors who continued on this path for several years started to notice that their dryland fields were dropping in yields quite rapidly, and they began to have crop failures while their neighbors were still pulling off average yields. They also had large amounts of potassium deficiency. Potassium deficiencies predispose plants to stalk rot, which are fungal diseases that affect the lower stalks. Once the lower stalk is infected, it not only makes it difficult for the plant to take up water and nutrients, resulting in reduced yields, but the structural integrity of the stalk is compromised as well, and the plants begin to lodge, fall over, and become difficult to harvest. No one fertilizes with potassium in my area because our soil tends to be very high in that element. But when crop residue is harvested year after year, the most easily available potassium ions are largely removed from the surface of the soil, colloids, and transported away in bales of stalks and straw. The Amish have a saying that the man who sells hay is slowly selling his farm, and I have seen formerly rich soils become progressively impoverished by too much removal of crop residue. On top of that, there is the issue of soil erosion. Removing the protective layer of natural mulch leaves the soil more vulnerable to erosion. I shudder to think of what might happen if cellulose ethanol ever becomes a viable concern. If crop residue is preferred feedstock, I am all for green energy, but only when it makes sense in the long run. Being able to fill our gas tanks cheaply won't do us much good if we can no longer grow food. All right. So basically, his neighbors suffered loss because they got rid of their organic matter. They sold off the straws, the corn stalks and stuff like that because they thought they were making a profit off of it, and it resulted in them not being able to grow anything. So, and he's basically saying, keep all your organic matter. You know, even here out in the country, there's small towns where people take their leaves every year and they burn them in the ditch. They even have yard waste disposal bins. They shove all their stuff into and get rid of it. You know, and it boils down to, you know, if you want good soil, you want to keep all that stuff. If you got a neighbor who wants to get rid of it, well, fine. You can't convince him to keep it, take it off his hands. You know, build up your soil. Maybe he'll change his mind when he sees how yours is doing. Maybe I should take these donuts and mix them into the soil instead of eating them. Alrighty. So Kano is busy filling the tank. And I'm running out of stuff to comment about. Anyway, this is a pretty good book. It went into explaining why tilling and plowing your ground does not really help. That some of the problems we're having with our land right now is probably the direct result of having been plowed for so many years. And, you know, and we have some problems underneath our big oak tree. I took away all the organic matter in order to improve some gardens and make some potting soil. And now all the ground underneath our oak trees is eroding away. So, I mean, that was just a small thing we did. All right. And Kano is back. So. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I'm done reading that section. But yeah, it's a pretty good book. It goes into, it, you know, that's only one of the things it went into, you know. So I'm working my way through the book. It talks about swales. It even has a different type of swale than I've seen before. This guy seems to like wood chips. I don't know why he likes wood chips so much, but he seems to like wood chips. He basically, he'll dig this deep trench for a swale, and he fills it with wood chips. So, you know.
Load of mulberry foot of bone, and I had growing on land that drained like it's supposed to. So we just had a pond worked on. Well, got here. We had a pond worked on. We did a fence job where they had a buttload of mulberries. Somebody had cut the mulberry out previously, but they didn't like poison stumps. So the mulberries came back with the vents. That was kind of sort of good for us. So we got paid to do it, but we cleared the mulberries and went back to the land, and we were going to ground and we grow. But like you said, it rained and got some water. Well, here's the organic matter. Yeah, so it was going to be free food and medicine because of the mulberries being free food and medicine. But now it's compost. Yeah, organic matter.
And so I'll be this upcoming weekend, I'll be finishing measuring out this yard, and I'll be measuring out where we want to install a couple of squales. Our neighbor uphill of us, water from his land dumps in two major locations into our field. It's not quite a creek bed, but I want to capture that water and soak it into the land. So I'll be planning out where those swales will fall, and we'll proceed to work on those.
Yeah. Oh, meanwhile, discovered over here. Got a customer wanted to come up with, or wanted to help daddy oils or whatnot for hemp oil. And Sarah, I have that we can make first, essentially. Well, Sarah found out that mulberry, not mulberry, blackberry leaves, good for hormone, hemorrhoids. So if you dry out the leaves, blackberries will grow in the wild. They're like weeds. Dry them out, we can see. And help internally.
Correctly, you improve your own personal health and then improve the hemorrhoids.
Exactly. You should do it the other way as well. But either soaking the alcohol, or soak it in a carrier oil, or you can powder it and put it directly in the lotion that way, and it was going to come in too.
Our poison.
Right. So
be careful with them. But
right.
The berry, supposedly, you know, don't eat the seeds, but the berry itself is okay.
According to Marcus Ross, that's true. Unless it was strong medicine. Now ready. We got our safer treat. Talked about that last year on our podcast. Yeah. The third one we need for that big pot. We're going to give it a grand and put one and five the winner. Mulberry. Corn. Yeah. Edge up. They call it mulberry. Mostly, it's like watermelon or bubblegum. Watermelon is bubblegum. Jared's got customers. He got fruit yet. Maybe next year we'll have fruit. Classic. What? Yeah, we changed on fruit. Not very real, probably. Kansas City, by the way. supposed to be. We're going home to work on our farm.
Anyway, I guess that's it.